You're listening to the weekly podcast with Pastor Steve McCoy from 360 Church in Sarasota, Florida. We hope this message inspires you to press beyond ordinary.
Today, when I think about the resurrection, every time you see it in the scripture, the mention, especially in the early church, when they begin to share with the resurrection, there's kind of an upheaval. And people were okay with the resurrection, with Christ and the story of Christ and how he died. But when it came to the resurrection and somebody coming back from the dead, it really kind of heated up. And so I think today I just want to challenge us, both of the, for those of you that are maybe looking for God and in your life, and you've come and you're like, hey, I'm still trying to figure this out. And I want to put my head on the pillow tonight and know that I'm okay with God, that all is right. And then for those of us who have been through that doorway and have trusted in Christ and we're Christ followers, I think there's a challenge for us in the resurrection story that is necessary for us to have. So with your permission or not, let's challenge ourselves. Let's put ourselves in a mode of not just walking away and feeling good. That there's nothing wrong with feeling good, but God has put us here for a deeper reason, and I think that's what we're going to look at. So this, I just want to start by just saying this was a special week for us in the McCoy household. My wife Carrie, she loves rollerblading, and so she hasn't rollerbladed for quite some time because, you know, we've had teenagers in the house and life is busy and blah blah blah. So she said, "Man, I want to get back into rollerblading," and she gave me a dirty look. Or I see. Yeah. So, anywho. Oh, she was so excited about it. So she took out the old roller blades, and they just didn't work like they used to. And it was totally the roller blades, No, it was actually the roller blades. You know, they were old. And so, yeah. So she said, "Hey, I got to get some new roller blades." So she ordered the roller blades, did a bunch of research, you know, which ones, you know, break the right way. And she asked me if I wanted to join her in the endeavor. I'm like, absolutely not. I will, you know, film you, watch you, applaud you, champion you, but I'm not going to do it. Anyway, so ordered the roller blades, and you know how it is when you're looking forward to something and you're looking for a package, and you get the package and you're tracking it, and oh, it's supposed to show up Wednesday, and it doesn't show up Wednesday, and you're like, ah, oh, man. So just kind of anticipate, finally they arrive, and there's, you know, big size box, and she opens it up, and there's a roller blade. There is a roller blade. They have one roller blade. Like, what was the person enjoying while they packed the box? I'm not sure. At any rate, it's crazy. So, you know, disappointment. And I reordered and got the other roller blade. Today, the resurrection is the other roller blade. Because the challenge right off the bat is that if we're not careful, we can live this life pre-resurrection instead of post-resurrection. As Christians, we focus a lot on the cross of Christ, as we should. But the cross of Christ reconciled us. There was a job to be done. This is why Christ said on the cross, "It is finished." The assignment, the task was monumental beyond the scope of any human being to bridge the gap between human beings and God. It had been broken. So God sent his son, his only begotten son to earth, to come to us as the Lamb of God, perfect, without sin. And he who knew no sin, the Bible says, became sin for us, took our place on the cross, so that in him we might be right with God. We might be the righteous. We might become the righteousness of God. So he resolved that through what's called reconciliation, right? So you reconcile, your checkbook is to make things line up. And so Christ through the cross reconciled. It's a beautiful thing. I will never in 1 minute of my life ever downplay that. But it is tempting sometimes to live in that moment only and say, I'm reconciled with God. And everything is okay between me and Him. And whew, boy, what a relief. And just stop right there. But wait, there's more, as the infomercial would say. There's another rollerblade. Because without the other rollerblade, we'll only stay in one place being reconciled, but not revved up. We'll only be the owners of one part of the gospel story and not liver outers of the other part of the gospel story. Let's dive down deep and I'll show you what we're talking about today. In Romans chapter 6, a book in the New Testament, we find this verse, and it includes both the death of Christ and the resurrection of Christ. We are, when we get baptized, buried with Him through the baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory to the Father, that we too, watch that, and I capitalize that word too, that's the other rollerblade. That we too, as Christ is raised from the dead, that we too may walk in newness of life. Christ did not just come to earth to make sure that all was fixed between humanity and Him and God. Christ came to earth to fix the gap between humanity and God, but also to come back from the dead, to allow us to experience a different life, a newness of life. This is what our focus is. Watch this. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 10, it's a little bit surprising. For if, I capitalize that word, for if when we were enemies of God, we were reconciled through the death of His Son, through the cross, much more. Look at those words. Much more being now that we're reconciled, we shall be saved by His resurrected life. That requires a little disassembly. Let's break it down a little bit. In other words, He was saying, we were enemies of God. And when we were enemies of God, He still came anyway. And He reconciled us. But now that He's reconciled us, now we're friends with God. And now that we're friends of God and not enemies of God, because we've been reconciled, now that we're friends of God, God says, oh, now I've got much more for you. So we're not just a relationship or like we're forgiven people. No, we're forgiven people, but there's much more to what He has to say. In the resurrection, there are three relational aspects that I want to focus on today that I believe that are critical in order to rollerblade, in order to get it down the road, in order to live in a newness of life. Because if we're not careful, you might look in the mirror and say, why is my Christian life so stale right now? Why is it that, you know, I pray, it doesn't seem like it's going anywhere. I read the Bible, it's a little confusing. Whatever that may be, why is it that my marriage perhaps feels stale? My relationship, that I'm not like super excited on the old excitometer about what's happening in the kingdom of God. Wherever you might find yourself, because we all live through those chapters, I believe that the answer is in the resurrection and living the newness of life. There are three aspects, relational aspects I want to jump into. And the cool thing about each of these is that they're permanent. They're permanent. If I said, okay, show of hands, how many people have had a really great relationship in their life that somewhere it went south? Probably all of us. Yeah, some of you are kind of eager. Yeah. Right, we've all had relationships that like, man, I thought this was going to be great. I thought this, you know, and all of a sudden you get blindsided. Christ is never that way. Although sometimes the culture of the cancel culture can eat into our minds and we think God is that way. The great thing about God is he's permanent. There's nothing. Sometimes permanent is good. Sometimes permanent is bad. I'll never forget like when we planted our church, I was a substitute teacher. My first assignment was a fifth grade class. If there are any elementary school teachers in here, God bless you. It is not easy. And so I had a friend of mine said, hey, Steve, I know you're getting the church going. You should become a substitute teacher. And so I got a fifth grade class And you can step in. I'm going to be out, you know, in a couple of weeks, and you get the training and everything and do it. And so I stepped in. I mean, it was intense. I came home, and Carrie said, I look like Kramer on Seinfeld, you know, with the little hair I had was standing up. I remember at recess, there was one kid who was looking me right in the eye while he'd need another kid right in the head like this. I did find out later from my friend. She said, I've taught for 28 years. This is the toughest class I've ever had. Thank you so much for letting me know. I found that really quick. You can't be friends with them right away. You can't come into a classroom and say, hey, guys, come on in. Great to see you. That is not good classroom management. So she said, here's the technique. Here's what you do. You go to the whiteboard. And if you ask any fifth grader, what's your favorite topic? They're going to say recess, right? So you go to the whiteboard and you write the word on the whiteboard, recess. And you say to them the first time they act up, like, okay, here's a new rule. I'm going to erase the R. And then the next time you misbehave, I'm going to erase the E. And by the time we get to recess time, if there are no letters up here, there's no recess. We're going to sit here in silence. I'm like, hey, that sounds pretty good. So I go up there, I'm like, you know, Mr. Drill Sergeant, I'm like, okay, listen up. I'm going to write the word recess up here on the board. And, you know, I go through the whole instruction. So I'm like, okay, here we go. So I write the word recess. Of course, 2 minutes later, they're misbehaving. I'm like, okay, there went the R. Permanent marker. Permanent marker. Let me just say the rest of the day didn't go all that great. In this case, the permanency of Christ is incredibly great. I want you to imagine this morning, if we were gathered and our hero was laying in a grave somewhere in the Middle East. And the only thing that we could do is go visit the grave. We'd have no interaction at all because he's dead. The skeleton laying in some box in a tomb or in some cave. And we'd hallow the grave and we'd hallow the tomb. And our worship songs would mean nothing because there was no interaction going on. The power of the newness of life is that we have someone we can interact with. Here's the first thing. Watch this. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Christ is able. He's able because he's alive. Christ is able permanently for all time to save those who approach God, watch, through him, since he permanently lives to make intercession for them. In other words, you're here this morning. Maybe you're tuned in online. You're like, I want to be right with God. Nobody is convincing you, needs to convince you. You're being drawn by God. Every Christ follower sitting in this room and at home, every Christ follower at one point was drawn. We're drawn to God. And when you're drawn to God, you're like, there's a desire. I want to be right with God. And what religion teaches us is that in order to be right with God, you got to go through a human being. Maybe you go through a priest, or maybe you go through a pastor, or maybe you come to church and you come to church on certain days, or maybe you obey the golden rule, and then you're going to show up to God and you're going to say, see what I've done. I've attended church. I've done this. And this is the negotiating factor. And Christ said, no. None of that will ever get you perfection that is required to be in the presence of a perfect God. Here's what it is. We come to God through the living Christ who stands between us and the Father and says, he's with me. He's with me. And because we come through Christ, we don't have to come by ourselves. Does that make sense? Let me give it to you in a picture. One time I'm in the Middle East, and sometimes when you get off a plane and you have to go through immigration, it's like, oh, it's a nightmare. You step off the plane, and it seems like there half the population of the planet is waiting to come through immigration. One time we went with somebody, and they had what's called the black passport. In other words, the cover of the passport, the cover is black, and that's only given to high diplomats. He was a judge in the city. And we got off the plane, we were with him like, oh gosh, it's crazy. There's a million people waiting. This is going to take hours, and we got somewhere to go. He goes, oh, no. Come with me. And he just held up the black passport, And we, like little ducks, walked right behind them. Hey, we're with him, no problem, right? And we're like with our green passports, like, you know, feeling pretty confident. We can approach God with confidence because we're coming through Christ. When I came to Christ and was drawn to begin to read the Bible, I had convinced myself that it was too late for me to come to God. I know it seems crazy. I started reading the Old Testament, and man, they killed people for the things that I had done. And guess what I did? I believed it. I hadn't gotten to the good part yet. And I began to read. I'm like, man, I've done that, and they killed them for it. Wow. I've done that too. They killed them for that too. I'm like, dude, I got to quit reading the Bible. And then I found out this glorious thing. That it wasn't me that was going to stand before God alone. It was me through a Savior who was alive. That's the power of the resurrection. You're not coming to a God just by yourself. Watch this. In the Old Testament, and let me give you just let me go in the classroom for just 60 seconds. In the Old Testament, God has always had someone be a representative on behalf of the people. In the Old Testament, there was a tabernacle or a temple, and so only the priests could go in and offer sacrifices for the people. Not all the people went in. I'll just send someone in. They had a sacrifice. They had blood. They sprinkled the blood on this, that, and the other, so it cleansed it because there's life in the blood. I know that's really heavy, but there was always a representative, I'll just say it that way, on behalf of the people. What we're told in the Bible is that was only temporary. That there's a permanent temple in heaven, and we need someone to go in. And that someone that goes in needs to not die every year. That needs to be a permanent priest that we can go through. Watch. Hebrews 6:19. We have this hope as an anchor permanently for the soul, firm and secure. This hope, this anchor, enters the inner sanctuary of the heavenly temple. I know it's crazy. Behind the curtain, where nobody else could go, where Jesus, who is alive, went before us and has entered on our behalf. He could never have entered on our behalf if he died on a cross and is laying in a grave somewhere. So we can go to God the Father through Christ. That's our first. Now, some of you may think, okay, I see where you're going here, Steve. This is that initial entry between me and God. In other words, I don't know Christ, and so I want to know Christ, so I got to go through Christ. This relationship is also for us that claim to be that are Christ followers. That relationship of going through Christ is also for us as Christ followers. Let me tell you why, okay? Now I'm going to get super heavy on an Easter morning, super heavy. We are here because of something supernatural. Would you agree? We're here because supernaturally Christ raised from the dead. So we're already okay talking about supernatural things. Supernaturally, every single person sitting in this room and watching, every one of us have an enemy. And that enemy is the enemy of God. And the enemy of God hates the followers of God. The enemy of God, we're told in the book of Revelation in chapter 12, that he accuses the brothers and sisters, that means us, he accuses the brothers and sisters night and day. He is accusing you night and day. That means permanently. And for brothers and sisters in Christ, we have Christ the attorney, Christ the lawyer, Christ the interceder. Watch this. Romans 8:34, Christ who died. Watch these words. They mean something more than that. The other rollerblade. Christ died for us. Yes, that's one rollerblade. But the resurrection, more than that, was raised to life and is at the right hand of the hand of God. And he's also defending you. He's also interceding for you. So the moment someone says, oh, you're this and you're that, you're like, okay, but I have an attorney who's going to take up for me. Watch, 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. My dear children, John is writing to his fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Not just for those looking for God. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, if anybody falls, if anybody walks off the line, we have someone who is alive today. Because if he's dead, he can't do it. He's alive today, who speaks to the Father in our defense. Everywhere, anywhere, anytime, anyone can say, God, I know I've blown it, but I'm coming to you today, and I have confidence that I have an attorney in heaven who's defending me. Yeah. And the other half of you guys will be excited about that by the time we finish. A couple of years ago, I got sued, and there was a little fender bender that happened, and it was kind of a mutual thing, but I got the blame for it. And so I got the letter from the TV attorneys, 1-800, you know the guys. I won't mention their name because I don't want to get sued again. And the letter, you know, the average bear doesn't know much about law and how all that works. But the letter literally says, prepare all your assets because we're coming for everything. I'm like, does that include teenagers? Because I'd be okay with that. No, totally kidding. And I freaked out. I'm like, I feel pale as I'm reading the letter. And I called my insurance company and they said, no problem. We have an attorney for you. And then I get another letter. I freak out. I call them. No problem. We have an attorney for you. When we are in our worst moments, here's what the resurrection says to you. Oh, don't freak out. You have an attorney. And the reason you have an attorney is because he's not dead in a coffin somewhere. And that's a big deal. Here's a second permanent thing. Second permanent thing is that we can pray anytime. The fact the Bible says pray without ceasing. Don't stop ceasing. Pray permanently. And the reason we can pray permanently is because we have someone to talk to that's alive. We can pray any of us, anytime, anywhere. I got a text on Wednesday night. It was late. I had a long day. It was later at night, after dark. And I got a text from someone that I had intersected with just a few days before. And they said, I'm ready. I want Christ in my life. Will you meet me in the parking lot right out here after dark? I said, no, it's after hours. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't say that. So I showed up and we stood by our cars. And I said, hey, why are we here? I want you to tell me why we're here. And he just so in such a raw fashion said, I'm done leading my own life. And I want Christ. We didn't have to go from the parking lot. Oh, let's make sure we come in the church. I just happened to have pastor on my name tag, but you know what a pastor is? A pastor is a human being with a title. I'm no more spiritual than you are. Well, maybe a little bit. I'm no more spiritual than you are. I'm only 10 inches higher. I wish I was here, but you know, in the back, I couldn't see, right? We're all together and we have this advocate that is open 24/7. Think about it. Since we have, Hebrews 10:19, since we have this confidence to enter into the most holy place by the reconciliation of the cross, by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened up through the curtain, which is his body. And since we have a great attorney, a priest over the house of God, then come on, let's draw near to God with a sincere heart and a full assurance. He's there. I never have to worry if he's there or not. He's there. And he's there 24/7. You know, I grew up in a day and age where all the stores closed at night. There were no 24/7 stores. Anybody relate to that? There were no 24/7 stores, and oh my golly, they were all closed on Sundays, right? That was a big deal, right? But in 1927, there was a guy, his name was Jefferson Green. They called him Uncle Johnny for whatever reason. And he had an ice company where they would, you know, they didn't have, everybody had refrigeration. So they served these like foot-long ice cubes. And of course, ice cubes melt. So people have to keep going back. So they opened the store for 16 hours. They opened at 7 in the morning and they closed at 11 p.m. at night. And that was a long time for most stores. And so now you have 153,000 convenience stores in the U.S. and 90% of them are open 24/7. Well, Uncle Johnny, he said, hey, I'm selling ice and people are coming. I might as well sell eggs. And he started selling eggs. And then he said, hey, they're buying eggs. I might as well sell milk. And guess what the name of his store became? 7-Eleven. And I remember as a kid that when 7-Eleven said, we're going to go beyond 11 and open 24 hours, it was like man on the moon, like, wow, 24 hours a day. Then it was 24 hours a day, and now it's 7 days a week. Now it's kind of a norm for us. And what can happen is that, oh yeah, he's there. God's there 24/7, and we can kind of get used. It's not shocking to anybody that you can go down to Wawa or Ya-Ya or Va-Va or whatever convenience store it is 24/7, and we can kind of get used to like, yeah, God's always there. No, the risen Savior is at our act. He's accessible to us. I mean, let's not lose the factor. As we did, like, wow, 7-Eleven's, we were like, 7-Eleven's going to be, like, open at 3 in the morning. I don't even know why we were excited about it. We were all sleeping at 3 in the morning. But that same excitement, that Christ is always there. Here's where I want to land today. So we go through Christ permanently. We go to Christ permanently. But here comes the challenge. And I always like to give you a heads up on the challenge. Not only do we go through Christ, not only go to Christ, but we need to hear from Christ. We need to hear from Christ. Okay? Here's the challenge I want to throw out to us together. Me too. Me too. If we're going to walk in the newness of life, this is not a one-way avenue to God. What I mean by that is that it's not all us speaking to God, asking God, praising God. It's also hearing from God. And the reason that we can hear from God is because of these words that Jesus said to his disciples before he reconciled the world on the cross. He said, I tell you, John 16:7. He said, I tell you the truth. It's really good for you guys that I'm going away. Now, that made no sense at all. He was there. He was the Savior. He was their hopeful King. But it's good for you that I go away. And he said, let me tell you why. Because unless I go away, the Counselor, he's speaking of the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. And if the Holy Spirit doesn't come to you from the Father, you're going to have a transactional relationship with God. What does that mean? It's fixed. Okay? Between you and God, the gap is fixed, but there won't be any fuel. There won't be any newness of life. There won't be any spark plugs. There won't be any like, yeah, I'm going to call it jazz. There won't be any jazz. You'll just have an, oh, I'm okay with God relationship. And if you're in a marriage that maybe you're living through a chapter where you're just okay with one another. That's not what the intention of marriage. That's not a marriage that has jazz. The marriage that has jazz is that you really can't wait to get home. The marriage that has jazz is when you're holding hands and walking. The marriage and the jazz in marriage is one that you love each other and you can't wait to talk to each other and you enjoy being in places with one another. And God wants that same relationship. He just doesn't want you to have said yes at the altar and it has no life in it. Does that make sense? And so he says, unless I go away, the Holy Spirit, the Counselor, cannot come. But if I go, I will send him to you. And he's meaning I will have the Holy Spirit sent to you. Because on our behalf, he goes to the Father and says, send the Holy Spirit. And he couldn't have done that if he were dead. Watch this. John 14, 16. He said, I will ask the Father. He couldn't have asked the Father if he were dead in a grave. I will ask the Father and he will give you another counselor. Watch. And he will be with you. Let's say it together. Forever. That's permanent. Permanent. We have permanent fuel because of the Holy Spirit, because of the resurrection. He will be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. Now he says, watch this. He's speaking to the disciples before he goes to the cross. The world cannot accept the Holy Spirit because it neither sees the Holy Spirit nor knows him. But you know him because he lives with you. But guys, now, he's now going to live. He will be living in you once I send the Father. Here's why we're having this conversation. I read an article this week, and I know this is crazy, and I understand for some of you, the Holy Spirit is mysterious, and the Holy Spirit is mysterious, okay? But there are too many that are living just in a transaction. I'm okay with God. My sins are forgiven. I'm going to go to heaven. But until then, there's a jazz. There's this newness of life that God wants you to have and his son wants you to have. And he kept saying over and over, I'm going to send the Spirit. Watch this. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he said, I want you to go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the world. I want you guys to go, but don't go yet. Don't go yet. Why didn't he say, just hit the road. Let's get it. Let's get on the mission. He said, don't go yet because the Spirit of God is not living in you yet. So God is saying, I don't want you to just live this life without the Spirit of God. I want you to be interacting all the time. I want to hear from you, God. Some people, I heard last week, all we need is the Bible. I heard a statement, all we need is the Bible, okay? Now, honestly, we desperately need the Word of God. But the Bible says that it's only through the Spirit of God that we understand the Word of God. So if we pick up the Bible, here's my suggestion. Don't just say, okay, this is my daily reading. I go there, I didn't understand that. Okay, good, I'm done. Rather than, God, would you open my eyes to the power of the Holy Spirit? Because I want to hear from you today. I want a living relationship. I want to walk in the newness of life. I may not understand anything, everything that I'm reading, but God, would you ignite something in me today when I'm praying? The Bible says you don't even know how to pray without the power of the Holy Spirit. We don't even know how to read the Bible without the Holy Spirit. We can't ignite our gifts unless we have the Holy Spirit. The gifts, there are many, many gifts, and there are many supernatural gifts. The gifts of healing, the gifts of prophecy, the gifts of speaking a word, many, many different gifts. And if we only say, hey, I'm okay with God, man, we're missing that jazz that God wants us to have. Does it make sense? Are you as excited as I am? Yeah. Huh? You know why we're having this conversation? Because I was so disturbed by an article that I read this week that says 62% of self-proclaimed evangelicals in America, 62% say there's no Holy Spirit. And maybe that's you, and if that's you, get out. Just kidding. It's easy to see a cross and to see a Savior on the cross that we can touch. But this life is a supernatural life. And even if this is new to you, what I'm saying is we must allow this relationship to be two-way. Listen, my life, your life, and I'll just speak for myself, my life is different. Because there have been times in my life where the Word of God just came alive supernaturally, right? When I'm in the morning times, early morning times, man, it's not like, oh, Steve just had a really neat idea. No, this is the Spirit of God speaking. But we must lean in and say, God, would you supernaturally speak to me today? I want to live in this jazz. God, I feel like my relationship with you might be stale right now. God, would you breathe a new life? After Jesus came back from the dead, he stepped into the room where the disciples were freaked out because they were only acting on human emotion, and it says he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit, and their life was changed. The Spirit of God must be part of this Easter Sunday. Whether we understand the Holy Spirit or not, none of us understand the Holy Spirit fully. But 62%, that's crazy. Would you agree? That's craziness. It reminds me, I was thinking about this whole thing this week, and you know, I grew up taking piano lessons, and I took piano lessons from this one lady for 1 year, and she was, let's just say, prim and proper. And I was, you know, a 9-year-old kid, and I'm playing football in the yard and everything. And every time I would come into my piano lesson, she goes, let me see your hands. And she'd look at my fingernails, go to the bathroom, clean your hands, like her piano was sacred or something. I'd spit on when she wasn't looking. No, I'm just kidding. And then she had fingernail clippers. She's like, make, okay, whoop, that one needs. I'm like, and I told my parents, I hate this. This is no fun at all, right? In fact, let's make it as unfun as possible, shall we? And they said, well, let's try another teacher. I'm like, okay, we got another teacher. So they introduced me to Charles Rowe Jr. And he lit a fire in me with music. Our piano lessons were at night. My father took me, and they were 2 hours, two hours long. It just ignited in me something different. Outside in the driveway, there was an old car. Looked like it was from the 50s. And that car belonged to Grandpa Rowe. Grandpa Rowe had died many years previous to that. But they didn't want to get rid of the car because, in their words, it was paid for. Now, the tires were flat. The tires were rotten. I mean, there was no air in those tires. Back then, you had spark plugs, I think. I don't know much about cars, but the spark plugs were dead. There was no fuel in the car. But we kept it to remember Grandpa Rowe because it was paid for. Sometimes if we're not careful, we can keep Jesus at the cross level. We want to remember him because it's paid for. And he would say, yeah, but the car is not moving. Can you imagine taking my family of four and sitting in the car? And we're just sitting there, and people walking by like, hey, what are you guys doing? Oh, we're going to go to Orlando. I'm like, no, you're not. And imagine that same car, flat tires, no spark plugs, no fuel. What if that car were sitting only 6 inches from a fuel pump and an air pump? And God would say, let's inflate those tires. Let me breathe into them. Let's spark those spark plugs. Let's put fuel in this thing and let's roll this baby out in the newness of life because our Savior is alive today. That's what he wants to say to us. It's just too, where we can't walk in the deadness. We have to walk in the life of who Christ is. Let me end with this prayer. We end today with this prayer. This prayer was written by the Apostle Paul to believers like many of us are right in this room. And he says, I keep asking continually, I keep asking God that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Now, these are people that already believe. The transaction has been settled. And the reason that I'm asking for this for you is that you may know him better. Not that you just know him and you've settled the difference, but you may know him better. God wants you to know him better, and that comes through the Spirit of God, which is sent from the Father because Jesus has asked him, because Jesus is not dead. See how it fits together? Paul said, I pray that through the Spirit of God, the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. May on this Easter morning, in 2024, may I give us a warning? We're getting ready to enter a year of a presidential campaign. Yay! I anticipate complete friendliness, brotherhood, and fraternity. It's going to be mudslinging. It's going to be awful. But may I just say that President Biden or President Trump will not be the hope of this world. Don't put your hope in either party, but put your hope in the party that's going to happen in heaven. How about that one? Amen. Be careful. Allow the Holy Spirit to be your driver and not the emotions that come with the stock market up, the stock market down, this candidate, that candidate, this happening, this bad thing happening, the crime is going up in big cities and all that. And it can be magnetizing, and the Holy Spirit can rise us above that, raise us above that to the hope of the real thing, because none of this is real, because it's just temporary. He says, I pray for his incomparably great fuel and power for us who believe. Don't try to live this life and walk in newness of life in Grandpa Roe's car, is what he's saying. You can't do it. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, the same power that he'd exerted in Christ. When he raised him from the dead, that same power, and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule, far, far above all candidates, all authority, all kingdoms, all power, all dominion, all regimes, all everything, every title that can ever be given, not only right here, but right there when it's going to be permanent. Christ is risen, and we can go through him, we can go to him, and on this Easter morning, we must hear from him through the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the power that is available, the fuel that you've given to us, the Holy Spirit, and thank you, God, today, especially on this resurrection day, that our Savior is not memorialized and entombed in some specific location on this planet. But today, our Savior is at the right hand of you, the Father, defending us, communicating to us, having you send the Spirit of God to us, that we might walk and the newness of life on this side of the resurrection. Father, I pray right now, we pray for each other. This journey is fatiguing at times, God. You know it well, we know it well. And we can be worn down and walk on the crucified side and not the resurrected side only. Thank you so much that Jesus came and died and reconciled the world, that he reconciled us to you. We see today, God, that's just the beginning. So we thank you so much for Jesus, who died and rose again from the dead. We pause right now, Father, even in this moment. And though the Holy Spirit is mysterious, we pray for the miracle, God, for us to have the spirit of wisdom, to have the spirit of revelation. You've told us in your word, be filled with the Spirit. It's a continual word, to be continually filled with the Spirit of God. Oh God, we even ask now, fill us with the Spirit. If our walk with you has grown tired, has grown fatigued, if our marriages are sagging, if our relationship with our kids, our relationship with others, if we've lost the spark to share the gospel, to be on mission, if we have negated the Spirit of God that gives the power, the gifts, the miracles. Forgive us, God. If we've only been satisfied that our relationship is okay now, that it's not vibrant, oh God, like the disciples, would you breathe in us a new wave of the Spirit of God? Fill us, Father, because you can. Thank you for the permanent love of Christ. Thank you for the permanent power of Christ. Thank you that there's never a day where we have to doubt. Can we come to you? Can we hear from you? Now, Father, on this Easter morning, what an appropriate time for those who are looking for you to step toward you, embrace you, and exchange their old life for the new life that you so want to give them. And as we're in prayer, if you're watching online, you're sitting in the room, the invitation of Christ is clear. He was sent to earth as the perfect Lamb of God to die on a cross in our place, that he might reconcile you, that he might bridge the gap that exists between you and God. There is no need for religion. There's no need for a human being, a pastor, a priest. There's no need for a church building. You need Christ. And I'm wondering if that's you, and if that's you, you'll know it's you. If God is drawing you, the invitation is quite simple and yet profound. Here's your first step. God, I need you. God, I need you. That's the first step to God. God, I need you. And particularly, God, I need a Savior. I need a Savior because I'm a sinner. I'm broken, just like everybody else on the planet. And I want to acknowledge that to you, God. I need you. Would that be your prayer? Listen, God is waiting for you. This is a moment that if he's drawing you, just lean into it and speak to him from your heart to him, to his. God, I need you. I need a Savior. Second, everybody's trusting in something. You might be trusting in good enough behavior. You're better than other people. Golden rule, religion, all those things. Here's the invitation. Trust in Christ alone. He's the only Lamb of God in history that ever came, that God ever sent, to pour out his life and blood on a cross for the forgiveness of your sins. God, I need a Savior. I'm going to trust in Christ alone and nothing or no one else. God, would you forgive my sins? I trust in Christ alone for that. Is that your prayer? Speak to him. And lastly, God, I've been leading my own life. I'm going to do a 180. I'm going to turn to you. I'm going to turn this life in. And just like we've heard in the Bible today, God, I'm asking you, would you breathe new life in me? Would you breathe the Holy Spirit into me and ignite new life? I just don't want things to be okay with me and you, God. I want to be alive in you. I want to walk with you. Is that your prayer? Your words? The rawness of your heart? Your words to God? God, I need a Savior. Trust in Christ alone. Would you breathe new life? So grateful, Father, for this time. We can quiet our hearts and stand in awe of a Savior who died and a King who rose. That's why we're gathered, to give you honor. We thank you so much, God, that you are permanent. We pray this in Jesus.
Thank you for joining us, and special thanks for those of you who give generously to make this ministry possible. If you enjoyed the podcast, you can also subscribe or share it with your friends. For more information about 360 Church, visit us at the360church.com.